Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Well, it is with him and Herbert, and he's smacking Justin Herbert's pads every game, and he's getting Justin Herbert, who basically does not talk, to give post-game speeches. There's something substantial and sort of magical that's happening down there after Brandon Staley, who's with the 49ers, after Brandon Staley just had them feeling like nothing. You know, he came in, he was touted as an analytical guy, as a really smart guy, and he proved that on the defensive side, and then it went south, and he was not a compelling figure. And then you get Jim Harbaugh, who might love football more than any other human on this planet. It's been pretty special to watch.
It really has, watching Harbaugh, and just watching coaches, both these Harbaugh brothers, watching the way that they coach. And I think Shanahan is still in that picture. I mean, if you look at what Shanahan has done the last 5 to 6 years, you got to compare that to any coach in the league except probably Andy Reid.
Yeah.
You look at what he's been able to do. Who can you say has outcoached Shanahan the last 5 years, what he's done with his organization to any organization in the league besides Kansas City?
I got to do an ID. Lucas was going to tell you to lay out, but I'm like, good luck, man. Lowe ain't going to stop talking, so I got to read
Lucas,
over
it's all right. Get my ear, baby. Get my ear. You're good,
listening
Luke.
To 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply CR. Just ask for First Cal financing at the dealer.
All right.
You know, we talked about Brock Purdy. Let's just go there. Right? Let's just pretend you're the GMs for a second. All right? It seems to be a foregone conclusion. And I'm with you. I mean, listen, you put the proverbial gun to my head. Let's lock him up next year. Let's not let this thing get messy. The one thing I would suggest is that you do it early. Like, let's not do what it is that we've done the last couple of years and let these things, when it comes to Bosa, where it actually carried into the season, and you did everything with Brandon Ayuk last year, that it was just too much. It was too much drama, and I think there's been a cause and effect, including, you know, Trent Williams and his extension. I just don't think that team was ready to play football at the beginning, and I'm talking about camp.
Right.
So if we're going to do it, let's do it. But I'm just saying, if I was in that room, could I be that guy that's just throwing caution to the wind, that since there's some uncertainty and 60 mil is a lot of skahoots where I'm from, that maybe we just hold out for another year so that we're certain about Brock Purdy and Brock Purdy's future going forward. Now, I would say this in my defense. Again, I started the show this way. When you think about Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence, do you think if they could redo it, then maybe they would wait another year and like, I don't know if you're worth that 53 per. Same thing with Tua. And the little fellow out in Arizona, Kyler Murray, is another guy that I think was a little bit premature. And in all three instances, I think that if the powers that be could have waited another year, they would have saved themselves a lot of money.
I think the only problem is if you're asking Brock, who's already outplayed his contract monumentally, I think he's going to hold out. And he could say, I'm not going to play unless you pay me. And I know that that doesn't seem like Brock's character.
Yeah.
But given how valuable he's been to this team, the fact that he did have elbow surgery and all that, if I'm him, I'm not setting foot on that field next year until I have a monumental contract. And if they go another route, fine. They can test that out, but there are going to be other teams calling and teams that will pay him.
Do you think there's teams out there that pay him $60 million?
I do. I think that's just the going rate of the market. I don't think there will be a team.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I do think teams would offer him that. I don't know how many teams exactly it would be, but what he's shown and the ability to elevate this offense, both with off schedule and targeting stuff downfield in a way they didn't have with Jimmy Garoppolo, I do think other teams would absolutely value him around the league.
I think he'd get paid. I don't know if it's
$60 million. If he doesn't get $60 million from the Niners, I don't think he's getting it from somewhere else. Like, if I'm the Raiders and I'm like, the Niners aren't giving you $60 million, we'll come in at maybe high 40s, low 50s. But if the Niners, I think, in order for him to get to 60, it's got to come from the Niners. And if it doesn't, I don't think he's getting it from anywhere else.
1,000% agree with you. First time we agreed about on something. How about that?
I got to read an ID.
Give me a bell just for that. You know, God, we finally agreed on something today. My goodness.
Dude, we're both friends. No dogs down.
Run to the ball. I couldn't agree with you more. I think you're absolutely right because of the fact, if you're a team and you're looking at a guy who's been injured, that type of injury on the elbow, and now your shoulder, and you may not play the rest of the year, I don't think he'll get that money anywhere on the market except the Niners. The Niners do owe him because of what he's been able to go through. So I'm with you there, Jack. But one thing I won't say, Jake, sorry about that. The one thing that I will say is I got Drew Brees on the phone. Drew Brees, look what he did with us. I mean, it's a Charger reference. Go ahead and get on me. The Charter, he remember Denver, yeah, mess up that shoulder. No teams wanted to pay him. They said, oh, what if something else happens? He had it surgically repaired. He was okay. But look what happened to him. So now you have a guy, same kind of in stature.
And they drafted Phillip Rivers because of that.
Exactly. Well, actually, they drafted Phillip Rivers before that. So he was there.
Before Drew?
Yeah. Drew and him was on the same team together. That's why I referenced the Chargers, because this is what I know. Yeah, so Drew was the starting quarterback. Drafted Phillip, Drew held him off the whole year. We're playing against the Bears.
Okay, wait, just...
Yes.
Who got drafted first? Drew Brees.
Yes.
Yeah, and Phillip Rivers was after him.
Yes, they got, but he got drafted while where Drew was still on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you said that's not the reason why they drafted him, because of the injury. So I'm
It was Rivers that came in after.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. But I thought you said because of the injury, that's why they drafted Phillip. Phillip was on the team before he got injured.
Perfect.
That's all.
Yes.
Yeah. But my point that I was making is, remember when Drew did get hurt, the Chargers didn't want to necessarily bring him back. Other teams didn't want to bring him, said because of the injury. I'm just saying now you have Purdy with an elbow like you alluded to. That's why I'm saying the same, because other teams probably won't give him that type of money because they're going to say, here's a smaller guy, don't know how much durability he has left, I'm not going to take that chance.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a fair point. That he would get 60 somewhere else, I'm not sure. But I think a team like the Raiders, the Jets have been desperate with new ownership. Who knows? I think there are teams out there that would give him somewhere in the range of 40 to 50. And maybe if you're the Niners,
I agree there.
You say, okay, well, we're not going to give you 60 because of that. But also, if you play hardball, he's going to play hardball back and you get into that situation.
You get more guaranteed then? If it comes down to that, to give the guy, here's a guy that's been injured, you say, hey, we're not going to give you $60 million, but we're going to guarantee this contract for you because what you've done.
I think that's what they should do. They should say, all right, here's, try it out. You say, here's $45 a year for 3 years, fully guaranteed. The fourth year is sort of an option year, and you see if that works. He'll probably want more, and that's where you go. But it's a tough situation where they've gotten so much value out of him for basically free. And if you're Brock Purdy, you got to get somewhere close to what you're worth. And the market's saying you're worth well north of $50 million because that's just what the market is.
What's that kid going to do with $60 million anyways? How many tractors can you buy?
I was just going to say, he's going to buy some tractors.
I mean,
he deserves it.
No, he does. But just, if I'm, you know, listen, we talked about Purdy and potentially not playing him against Buffalo if the shoulder's a little dinged or not at 100%. Why would you play him? Maybe sit him down for a while. I think the other side of that argument, if I'm Brock Purdy, I want to play because of this very conversation. Like, I think that there's some doubt in the air as to whether or not he's the sort of quarterback that can elevate a team when your superstars are not available. And that's always been sort of the knock on him. All right? Let's put it on you. Can you take us home? This is an opportunity. It's Buffalo. The world's watching. Everybody knows about Josh Allen. Getting back to, you know, if you're a competitor, a part of me believes, or at least wants to believe, that Brock Purdy, if he can go, is going to want to play against Buffalo. To procure that contract and to also quiet the so-called critics like myself that, you know what, I can play and play competitively against Buffalo, and I can play out the remainder of this season and prove to everybody that I'm worthy of the $60 million. I think the last thing that he should be doing is not playing games.
I think you're right. I think he's a competitor. He's a really competitive guy. I mean, you go back to the Seattle game, I think it was 2 years ago, or maybe it was last year, where he had, they called it a rib or an oblique injury, and he had a broken rib. And he played through it, and he gutted it out. And I think that's something that people forget. He is a guy that will play through stuff.
Right.
But when you are an undersized guy, there becomes a point of, I don't have a lot of arm talent. And if you do play through an arm injury, and we obviously don't know exactly how severe it is, but if it is something that could linger and you try and play through it in a cold game, does that make it worse? Does that have long-term effects? If it's something where it's just pain and there's not a long-term concern about it, I think he'd be out there. And we'll see. He obviously didn't do much today. He threw one little screen pass, according to Nick Wagoner of ESPN. But,
and blooped it, apparently.
Yeah. Didn't have a lot of zip on it. Let's be clear.
I'm going to tell you guys right now, even if he's ready to play, he's not going to play this week. Why would you? I'm going to tell you the game plan. If I'm brought, I'm not saying, I'm just look outside looking in. Now, this is not word that I've heard. This is how I look at this. The reason why you said when he played with that oblique and he was hurt and he went out there and played, they knew they could win that game. They know they have a chance of winning this game. They know they're not supposed to win this game. They know that all the guys that are injured and all the guys that are hurt, they're probably not going to win this game. Now, this is just real talk. And people might say, oh, you're crazy. They think they're going to win. They believe that they can win, but they don't believe that they're going to win. They believe they can win, but do they really think that they're going to win this game? That's one. Two, he played that game because he thought that they could win. He knew what he was getting himself into. Why would you go out this week and have all the criticism, and you get hit, you get beat up, you're going in the cold, and get your butt kicked against a team that's probably the best team in the AFC? But if I come back next week against the Rams or Chicago, teams that I know that were equally or maybe a little bit better, and if they're better than you, not by much, I have a chance to look far more better next week and week after against those teams than I do against Buffalo. So I'm going to take this one more week off, and I'm going out there against the Rams, or I'm going out there against the Bears, two teams that I can still win, lose, or draw. I can still look good. I'm not going to look prolific against the Bills.
You know, that's a good point. You know what might be the best case for him getting paid is Brandon Allen. When Brandon Allen comes in there and turns the ball over and throws interceptions, you know what it is? I call it the Trey Lance effect. You know how Dak Prescott got paid? You don't want me out the building? You want me out the building? Here's your next quarterback, Trey Lance. And Trey Lance threw 5 picks. Dak Prescott had a new contract within a month. All right, we'll be back here on 95.7 The Game. But before we go, we're sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hell yeah! 95.7 The Game continues after this.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
A reminder, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Island Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Guest Line, I haven't had a guest in the 3 years I've been doing this show. Andre Reed will join us at 5 o'clock.
A guy!
He's got to be a buddy of yours.
Oh, that's my guy, man. Andre, Hall of Famer,
Hall of Famer, wide receiver, one of the best to ever do it. Jim Kelly's favorite target back in the day. We'll talk to him coming up in less than an hour. By the way, breaking news, Brandon Crawford is officially retired from baseball. And Blake Snell gets 5 years and $182 million with the Dodgers. Let's move on.
Tough one for Giants fans who I've seen online. Some of them are saying the sport of baseball is dead. It's some could argue that happened.
Giraffe,
a few
right?
Years
didn't
ago.
They call him? That was his little name. Brandon. We had just nicknames around the
Brandon Belt. Brandon Belt. Yes. Yeah, they had the two Brandons.
Yes.
It's an era that's been over, and Giants fans are understandably not taking it too well because you could have got something for this pitcher. Could have gotten literally anything, and
it's the stench of Farhat.
100%. And they did the thing. They did the snarky thing of, oh, no, we can compete. And everyone knows there's no chance you can compete. And then, you know, you get into this situation where the Dodgers are taking all this deferred money. And it's tough. I get Giants fans being sick to their stomach.
Yeah, listen, we'll move off on baseball because Lowe's going to throw something out at me. If we don't get back into the NFL. But two names, how's that? Farhan, because I'm with you. If you couldn't see that you needed to sell Snell, how many times with Madison Bumgarner, like, and I was sitting right where you are, and I was doing a show just before the trade deadline, just screaming at the heavens, just going, you've got to move Snell, people. There's nothing to salvage in this season. And Mr. Middling there, Farhan, no, I think we got a chance. Come on, man. He never pulled the trigger. And the other problem with all of this equation is Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani, when you defer $600 million of your $700 million contract to the year 2034, you can do things like this if you're the Dodgers.
Yeah. Shout out Bobby Bonilla. As a
still get paid.
Grew up a Mets fan. He really set the standard for everybody. And then the Dodgers seem to be the only team that remember that, oh, hey, we can actually still do this and sort of cheat all of these restrictions and this fake salary cap. And to their credit, the only way that works is if you have ownership who is willing to pay money for a roster. You still have to pay it. It's just not hitting. It's not hitting the salary cap year after year. I know it's not necessarily a salary cap, but you don't have to pay it the same way. But you need ownership that's committed, and the Giants have had ownership that's all about splitting down the middle, being roughly, quote unquote, roughly break even, and that is probably the worst place you can be in sports. Is just right in the middle, right. Not clearly bad, not clearly good, no direction, ship without a rudder, and that's tough to stomach.
And the Dodgers, they just stay relevant. They just don't. They never rebuild. They just reload. They go out and they make. When they brought in Bex, like Mookie, 4 or 5 years ago, just watching the way this organization goes out, they're always in the thick of things. You think, okay, here comes the Padres. Nah, when it gets serious, we'll dismantle you.
Yeah.
Not only did he get the 182 over 5 years, they gave him a $52 million signing bonus.
Yeah.
And the Giants are paying him, I think, $17 million this year, the way they structured
his
deal.
Wrong. Baseball is in dire straits because it's the have and the have-nots. You can do like that in the NFL. Disperse that wealth,
man,
you know?
I played the wrong sport.
Well, listen, there's a reason why Green Bay and Minnesota are good football teams, right? And the New York Giants suck. You don't see that in Major League Baseball because the Yankees got money and Tampa Bay don't. Oakland has no money. Mm. The Dodgers do.
Mm.
And it's feast or famine in that league, and they got to do something about it. By the way, July 1st, Bobby Bonilla Day.
Love it. One of my favorite holidays of the year.
I was with a guy named Jeff Cirillo who played baseball. He was with the Mariners, and I was a sportscaster out in Seattle, for those of you that don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't. Every time I'm on the show, I remind people of the glory days. Thank you very much. But this is Jeff Cirillo, who signed a free agent contract from the Milwaukee Brewers. He signed like a 4-year deal. He was pulling down like $8 million a year with the Mariners, and he was garbage after the first year and a half. They let him go, but it was like a 5-year deal. So he had 4 more years in that contract. Now, baseball, unlike that of the NFL, that money's guaranteed. And so I remember being out on his boat, and we were hanging out. It was a beautiful Lake Union shout out in Seattle. Their summers are amazing in Seattle. And we're having a couple of pops, and his phone dings. I'm like, what was that? He's like, I just made $800,000. And we're sitting on a boat.
Wow.
This dude's now got a punch, you know, and That's life in baseball. Didn't need to go there, but
that's a beautiful thing.
Beautiful.
And it is rough. It is a rough life in the NFL where you're putting your body on the line more than any other sport.
Get it while you can.
And you know as well as anybody, you get hurt, that's it. That's it. You could be loved one day, and that stuff's not guaranteed. And it's a brutal, brutal situation.
It is, and that's why I think when you see guys like Brandon Ayuk and all these guys fighting for their money, Trent saying, "Hey, I want more money, more guaranteed," because they know they're getting. You know, for Trent, he knows he's getting to the end. He's like, "Look, I got to strike while the iron's hot. I know I'm going to fall off this cliff soon enough. I better try to get what I can." And you see Brandon Ayuk, you know, he say, "Look, I'm staying out. I'm holding. I'm getting my money." You have to, as guys, do it. It's just you got to try to do it the right way, because you have to strike. Because if you don't, when you don't have it, you're not getting paid.
That's why I'm on player sides.
Getting back to Brock Purdy. So I guess the consensus is that at least the three of us in this room believe as though he should get a contract next year and that first digit should start with a 6. Is that where we're at?
I don't necessarily think that is the best way to operate, or that $60 million a year is an amount you should pay your quarterback. I'm just saying the options that they have are to say, all right, we're going to try and make you play out your final year of your contract. Brock Purdy will say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hold out. Or they can try and negotiate early, get him below that figure. That's an option. Or they can try and play some middle hardball, draft a quarterback, do something else, try and get someone who's middle ground and money ball it. All fair options, but you know Brock Purdy's the best option you've had under Kyle Shanahan. Jed York has openly stated that they're going to cut him that check. And so whatever the price is, I think they're going to end up paying it, and that price is probably going to be in that ballpark, even if that figure is pretty absurd.
Yeah, I think that I don't think the best way is to do 60. I think that you go in there and you tell John Lynch and then say, look, just because other teams – like the Dallas Cowboys gave a guy $62 million a year, we're not going to make that mistake. Now, if you want to go to open market, hey, you know what? We're for you. I started this show off, and this is not disrespect about Purdy, because he should be paid, and I'm not questioning that. But I started this off by saying sometimes the Niners, Shanahan and John, because of their love and discipline and commitment to the players, when they maybe shouldn't be, they overextend themselves, and now you're in a situation where you're at today because you paid some guys. You didn't have to, but we did it because we want to show that we're a good organization. Instead of saying, here's where we draw the line in the dirt. Brandon Ayuk, we think you're a hell of a receiver, top 10, top 5 receivers in the league. This is what we're willing to do. We're not going to cross that threshold because other teams may do that. That can be them. We love you. We want you here. But you have to draw your line in the dirt somewhere with these players. And that's just unfortunate, but that's the nature of the game. Players, if you don't want it, go elsewhere and get paid, because I'm about getting your money. I'm all about that. But you have a Brock Purdy that doesn't necessarily have the strongest arm, that's already been through surgery. You have to say, how do I reward you? Brock is a good guy. Rewarding with the guarantee. So if it's $40 million or $45 million or $50 million a year, guarantee it for 4 years. Guaranteed for 3 to 4 years, and so now his money is guaranteed. You say, we're going to reward you because you have a tendency. You could be hurt. We don't know if that elbow is going to give out. We don't know if that shoulder is going to give out. But what we're going to do, we're going to reward you by guaranteeing your money, because the Niners need more than just a quarterback. If they're going to execute this offense and stay with the same type of defense, you can't just give the quarterback all the money and say, hey, now we can win, because guess what? You didn't do it this year, and if you don't change philosophies and don't build in your trenches, what do you have? A quarterback that you still ain't going to be able to win, because you have the weapons, but you're still not winning now.
Yeah, you also become irrelevant if you don't have a quarterback that can't function. You know, the Jets tried for the last 3-4 years to get something going with their quarterback. They couldn't solve it. Saleh gets fired. Joe Douglas gets fired. That's what happens. You know what you have in Brock Purdy, and at the very least, I think the 49ers are going to say, we have a known commodity. We're going to stick with it, even if the cost is pretty ridiculous.
The leverage, Luke was just talking to me. You want to say that again, Luke? Anyways. Leverage is a key here. Don't you think Luke... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. My man Lucas, I was trying to take in what it is you were saying, and Lucas was giving me instructions. It's kind of like when you're doing television and they give you an IFB. I would always tell my directors,
yes,
like, when I'm talking, do not talk. Like, I can't. I'm not.
That's like a bad play caller. You keep talking, and they say, "Oh well, you want to look out for
do you hear
for the safety, you know?" And it's too much for the quarterback to process.
Hutch is calling you a bad OC right now.
In fairness, you were not talking when I was talking,
but I was trying to reply to what it is that Hutch was saying.
Listen, we're all...
By the way, can you publicly now say to the room what it is that you... You know, as he used to say, like, in third grade, whatever it is you're sharing with your friend, you can share with the rest of the class.
I was going to say, we can talk about this week, and whether it's with Brock Purdy or without, Mark Schlereth told us yesterday that it's a do-or-die game. He thinks he's going to get the best effort out of the 49ers this weekend if you wanted to pivot off of how much to pay Brock Purdy.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, because I think this really comes down to leverage. And to me, the reason why Brandon Ayuk got paid is because he essentially said, look, if you want to go back to a Super Bowl, you know, I'm your guy. I just developed this rapport with your young quarterback. You know how instrumental I am to the success of this team. I'm just curious, as of right now, when you look at the body of work as it relates to Brock Purdy and the 49ers and their success or the lack thereof, Jake, who has the leverage, if anybody, in this relationship when it comes to getting paid?
I think Purdy does. I think if you're going to go through it and you're going to try and find someone else and you want to try and moneyball it, whether that's Sam Darnold, who I guess has been in your system, that's a theoretical option. This is the guy that Kyle Shanahan has trusted more than any quarterback I've ever seen. I go back to a year, 2 years ago. They're doing stuff at halftime where they're having dialogues. They're having open dialogues that come from trust and come from confidence, where Brock is saying, I actually want to take a shot here. I saw something. I'm confident in it. And when he had Jimmy Garoppolo, the lack of trust, there's a disdain between both of them. There was a palpable level of these guys are frustrated with each other and they're stuck in this relationship that they both want to get out of and somehow cannot get out.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And with Brock, Kyle really does trust the way he sees the game. I think this is the most I've seen Brock lack vision and trust in what he sees, but a lot of that is because of the offensive line, is because of their receiving. They haven't separated. I still think Kyle Shanahan has trusted Brock Purdy more than any quarterback he's ever had with the 49ers, and that's something that Kyle is going to continue to value, even though Brock doesn't have that top-end arm talent.
I agree with you, but where I disagree is I don't think that he has the leverage anymore. He had the leverage until this year came up. He had the leverage, Brandon Ayuk. He had the leverage to the defense. It became a sieve. He had the leverage when you can't stop the run. He's had the leverage, but you can't score in the red zone. He had the leverage, but you can't stop anyone on special teams. You had the leverage where you have to put 8-9 guys in the box and you still can't stop the run. Now you don't have the leverage because your team is not relevant today. Your team does not have what it needs to have in order to win and to be a threat in the NFC as it was. The 49ers, you can say what it is. You are what you are. Is this a year, just a 1 year of regression? And then no, because you don't have anyone on your defensive front from last year that's playing. Not one. You have backup guys that played a little bit, but think about your whole front. No one's there. Bosa's not there right now. So you have to revamp your defensive front. You're going to have to spend some money in your trenches this year. So you pay Brock all this enormous amount of money. Now, I think he needs to be guaranteed, and it's got to be $45 million is just the start. I think it's got to stay under $55. You can't pay him. You have to make sure if you want Brock to be relevant next year and you want him to have success, you better protect him. You better get this running game going back again. You better have this Shanahan offense humming again, because right now it's showing that it can't do it because you've had Brock for the last 9-10 weeks. And what have you done?
Yeah, and you got to the Super Bowl, and you weren't able to pull it off because you didn't listen. You had all the pieces you wanted on offense with your skill position players, and that was your identity. And then you had in key moments, you had breakdowns. And I thought Brock was definitely more good than bad, but he wasn't. You know, like Mahomes, he didn't push you over the edge in those key moments. And I think that's a philosophical question. Does he need to be at that level to warrant a contract like that? Or does him being who he is and being a very good quarterback who fits this scheme and is on the same page with the head coach, is that good enough to warrant a contract? And I would hear both sides of it because I understand where people are coming from on both ends. He's earned it, yes. But it's also you really tie yourself up when you pay a quarterback that much money.
Well, let me ask you this. The one knock on him and the one question we heard coming into the season is if you lose Debo, all right, and let's just say Kittle is, Kittle's got to go. He's a salary cap casualty, although that's not going to happen. He just recently signed an extension. But as these guys get older, can he do it on his own? Can he do it without Christian McCaffrey? Can you elevate the players around you, and can you be that guy that's worthy of being a $60 million contract? Well, they've been without Christian McCaffrey because of injuries. They haven't had Kittle. Debo's been out. The defense hasn't been very good. How has he answered that proverbial question that continues to linger around Brock Purdy going forward this year and his body of work once again?
I think he has answered in a few ways. His scrambling is something that they have not had in this offense, and he has taken advantage, and he's made plays. And I think there are some clutch moments. You go back through the season, he has led clutch drives. But the thing is, you don't know if you're going to trust him to be able to do that when they don't have even mediocre pieces. Like, if you're leaning, Ricky Pearsall didn't practice, and he's a rookie, and I really like him. But these are pieces that have not been in your system. You moved Juwan Jennings to a new position. So when the pieces aren't all fitting, is he elevating the offense? I mean, you look at Mahomes, he's not been great this year. He's turning the ball over a ton, but they're still winning because when they get to that final moment in the fourth quarter and they've hung around long enough, they just figure something out. Him and Travis Kelce figure something out. And you ask, can Purdy do that consistently? I don't think he's proven that, but I also think he's proven enough to say, we want this guy to be our quarterback for the long haul. You just have to get the price right.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that he deserves and warrant of a contract. And I'm not saying you paid a guy $25 million like a backup quarterback, or that's the average, you know, between $15 to $20 million is the average what a backup quarterback gets now. Does that mean that the market is right? Does that mean, and I think, no, you're paying a backup quarterback more than you're paying
Saquon Barkley. Go ahead, man.
You already knew where I was going. Yeah. You already knew. And Derek, so I think that the market has screwed is screwed, and it's very much flawed, and you have caused a problem, especially when it comes to the quarterback position. So you have to fix that. And if you're the 49ers, because everyone else is doing it, doesn't mean you have to do it. I can get more guaranteed money if a guy signs a $500 million contract and he's only getting 200 of it, and now I sign a $300 million contract, but I'm getting all 300 of it, I'd rather have that. So I think that there's ways that you can satisfy Brock Purdy, because Brock Purdy knows it's not about him spiritually, physically, mentally. That's who he is. He's a believer. This is not a guy that's going to say, I got to break the bank. He's going to say, look, I know what I need to win. Brock Purdy he likes winning more than he wants money. And it's a good thing, and it's a flaw. It's a good thing because he's willing to sacrifice to be able to bring in other players and do other stuff and take extension, grab more money up front, extend it out, but just get more guaranteed money. There's a greatest quarterback of all time. He's done that all the time for New England Patriots to be able to compete.
Yeah,
well, Tom Brady.
I mean, we'll see how Brock handles it this offseason when they get into that. And does he still come off as the sort of humble boy who just loves his tractors and his, you know, or does he get into the nitty gritty and say, hey, I want what I'm worth, and what I'm worth is north of $55 million. I think that's going to be interesting to watch. I think this week it's also going to be interesting to watch. Does he play?
Nope.
Does he shut it down? I kind of lean that this is a rough situation to be a quarterback who's, again, had some arm trouble and is dealing with a shoulder injury in cold weather conditions. I think it's a tough ask for him to come in when you're probably going to get throttled either way by the Buffalo Bills, who might just be at least the best team in the AFC.
Well, that shocked me if he plays.
You know what, Lowe? You surprised me because you know this better than anybody.
No, I don't.
To win the respect of your team, they know what he's doing in practice. They know what his pain threshold. They can see him making throws and what he can't. If he plays in that game, he's got the respect of everybody in that locker room, in that offensive line. And we talked about this, and you know this.
And if he doesn't?
If he doesn't, and I know you can go, I might think about you a little differently.
Well, here's the deal. When you're talking about another man's chicken, and this guy has been, when you seen what he did his rookie year and how he outplayed that, he goes out there, he takes it, no one gave him a contract, they had an opportunity, they had, of course, they had to raise it just because you have to put the tender on him. But you already know what this guy's done. Brock Purdy doesn't have to prove a darn thing to anybody. What he's done and what he's shown you, it wouldn't hurt me at all. You think Trent Williams give a darn about what we think? He's laughing and cashing checks. You talk about your boy in the boat, and he's heard that bing, $800,000. That's what Trent knows who he is. You think any of these guys are going to sit and say, think Trent can't play? Because they know who the individual is. They already know who Brock has already proven to these guys in that locker room. If Brock said, I'm not playing another game, my age, whatever, guys would understand and respect him because he's done too much. If he hasn't, like you said, if he was a prima donna, he didn't do anything, it's like, they're like, dude, get out of here. Dismiss me with that. But Brock has merit not to play this in the game, in my opinion.
I think that's a fair assessment of it. I think the 49ers have leaned on
him. You can disagree with Big Low, yeah. Man. I got back.
No, I think...
He has disagreed with me. Don't...
I've disagreed with you
thank
plenty.
Thank you.
And I'll continue to.
Thank you.
Because I respect you. If I didn't respect you, then I'd only agree with you on everything.
That's right. See? Don't try to put wedge between us. Gosh.
Hey, my man can cook. By the way, I cut you off, so let me go ahead and finish what it is you want to say.
No, I was just going to say, I think you're right. Brock has earned a ton of respect in this locker room from what he's proven, going through some injury stuff, coming back from it, and also just executing and being able to call guys out in a way that he did, I think, his rookie year. He's calling stuff out that, you know, he's like, you didn't run this right. I think that's really impressive, and guys notice that from the jump, and just the way he's executed this offense at the level. I think it would be really tough for the locker room to stomach them not keeping him around.
We are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, the pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. BayAreaOilChange.com. We continue. My man Jake Hutchinson is going to tell us how to put together a bird for Thanksgiving. I'm telling
Can't
you.
Can't wait.
I absolutely will. I will.
When we come back, we're also going to hear from Andre Reed. Well, that's coming up at the top of the hour, 5 o'clock. We've got a guest on the guest line. First time in 4 years. I've been live mic, and I'm actually going to talk to somebody that's not you two coconuts. We'll be back after this.
The Niners, it's a do-or-die situation. I mean, it doesn't get any easier. They're only one game out of first, so this puts them right back in the hunt. But they're 1-3 in their own division. You know, they only scored 17 against Seattle a week ago. You know, they're reeling right now. So this is a tough situation, obviously, for the 49ers. And I think the other thing, you know, for the Niners is if you get a win against the Bills, who are arguably the best team in the AFC, all of a sudden, what does that do for the energy in your locker room? What does that do for the believability that you can win this division? I think it's huge.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That was Stink, who joined us yesterday, previewing the big game coming up on Sunday in front of a nationally televised audience as they'll take on the Buffalo Bills. They got to do it in Buffalo. Lo, what's it like playing in the snow?
Man, I tell you, it is horrible. Absolutely. Hey, you know what? Now you like thought I was going to get excited. I'm like, oh, man, I love it. I can't wait to play in the snow.
Yeah, I was expecting football weather.
No, it's the snow. The Angels, the snowman. No. It doesn't have. Now, it's good to go visit the snow and go in and get out. But when you're out there for 4 hours, I remember playing in friggin' Cleveland in 2004. I think it was a wind chill 14 below.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. It's so cold, your bones hurt every step you take. We win the game. We were getting ready to run lead draw. LT, low. LaDainian Thompson, low. And I'm playing fullback. We're going to run lead. He looks back at me. He said, I got snot coming out. That's frozen. And he says, I can't feel my hands. He wanted me to run. I said, what you want me to do about it? To turn around and it's like, dude, let me just go make my block, get out of the way. It is absolutely, when it's cold like that, bro, it's not healthy. It is not healthy to play in that type of weather.
It looks like so much fun. Hey, Jake.
Does it?
It looks like fun when LeSean McCoy's out there and he's running for 200 yards.
Oh, that, yeah.
He was incredible doing it, but it does look just brutal. What I don't understand is the fans out there that are just...
Taking off their shirts.
Yeah, you've always got fans out there that are shirtless, and obviously alcohol's involved, but I want, like, how do you even do that? How do you get through
it? It's
mental.
Honestly, it's mental. When you get to the sideline, you friggin' on the heaters, you put your feet inside the heaters because your toes are cold. Your toes feel frozen, so you feel like, oh my God, when you get stepped on, you're just hopping because it's friggin' that cold. So you keep those heaters in. You have the hand warmers that you have in your jacket. You have them in your little pockets here. When you're out on the field, you're putting your hands in there all the whole time. You just go, man. You find a way, of course. You find a way to get through, and you're like, how did I get through that game? You have hot chocolate on there. Your Gatorade's warm. You are just freezing. It's not fun out there.
A reminder, Andre Reed, the Hall of Famer, joins us coming up at 5 o'clock to talk about the 49ers and the Bills. Of course, he was a star, a standout, one of the best for the Buffalo Bills for so many years. But I'm telling you, man, when I saw that Cleveland and Jameis Winston in that game in which they beat Pittsburgh, that's one of the funnest things, at least visually, to watch on TV. When it's snowing and you can barely see, and guys you can see can't get their traction, the ball's wobbling. I mean, at least for a game or two. To me, that's what separates football from every other quote-unquote mainstream sport in this country.
You love his interviews? You love Jameis' interviews?
He is unbelievable. I have to like pause
please,
a little
please.
Bit
give
because I almost cringe. It's like The Office. Like, I have to pause and remind myself that Jameis Winston is just built different. And then once I remind myself of that, then I can enjoy it because he's just on another planet, and it's incredible to watch.
And it's incredible, right?
Give it to me, Lo. Give me one.
Jameis, how do you feel? I feel great. It's just lovely. Right now, the stars and the sun is out here. And I've been thinking to myself, it's football. I'm out here playing football. And it's just like, where is he going with this, right? And like, it's like
slam poetry about football. It's pretty incredible to watch.
It's messy TV.
It's no question.
You know the other guy that I like? It's also out there. And I know he rubs a lot of people the wrong way. It's Baker Mayfield.
Oh, Baker.
Baker is the Tommy DeVito little sign.
You
got to
love him, though.
He's another nut. I saw him going down. He was about 30 yards downfield on a handoff, and his running back broke it, and he's looking to block somebody.
Did you see when the fumble happened and nobody else noticed it, and Baker's probably about 10 yards out of the play, and he's the only one that sees it and goes diving head first in for the fumble?
Dude,
He's tough. You got to respect him. I do like the Bosa Mayfield rivalry. They didn't. It wasn't that intense this year, but that's always something fun to watch. Football is an entertainment sport, and he is nothing if not entertaining.
He's got a gig now, man. The guy's a starting quarterback for Tampa Bay. If I was to say that to you 2 years ago, you would have laughed at me. I mean, what about Cleveland? Yeah, nice move. Let's get rid of Baker and bring in Deshaun Watson and guarantee that money.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
Yikes.
Money.
Yikes.
No. All right. You know, Big Stink was talking about, hey, listen, it's not, at least this is how I interpret it, it's not the end of the world because you're still only one game back. And those two teams that you're trailing are Seattle and Arizona, which should not keep anybody up at night. And I know if you're the 49ers, you can't even think about that, right? You just got to take care of your own house. Got to make sure you can tackle somebody, first of all, right? You got to make sure you can at least be competitive against Buffalo. But still, at the end of the day, you know, one of the callers said, well, we're not mathematically out of it. Hell no, you're one game back of two teams who are very, very beatable. And again, and Lo, I know you're not with me on this one. That's fine. But if you do, if you do win that division, you're now the number four seed. So it means you could be playing maybe Green Bay again. But you're not traveling to Philadelphia. I don't have to deal with Detroit. And maybe, just maybe, stay with me here, people, that you can, we've been waiting for it all year, maybe that overdrive or suddenly it slips into gear between now and the end of the season, meaning Brock Purdy comes back meaning you got Trent Williams protecting his blind side, meeting suddenly Christian McCaffrey is doing Christian McCaffrey-esque things, and the defense sort of feeds, you know how things are so contagious in football, that suddenly that team we've been waiting for, because this happens in football, suddenly catches fire in a really weak division. I still see the glass half full, and I think that there's an opening. Maybe it's a jar for them to get where it is that they want to get to.
Yeah, for that to happen, that'd be like, you remember that where the little boy had two fish and five loaves of bread and fed 5,000?
Are we going biblical references
yes,
now?
Yes, that's who you better have. That's what it's going to come down to, brother, because what has given you hope and what recall do you have for this year to feel that that can happen? I'm asking you. You know, I want you to go with me and just think about this whole season. What is giving you hope, and what have your eyes seen that tells you this team can and should be able to turn this thing around?
I haven't seen it in the trenches, as we talked about. That matters. I think Brock Purdy has at times been a bright spot. I think if you want to be half glass half full, all right, let's look at it this way. Even glass half full, you lose to the Bills. But you rest Brock Purdy, you rest Trent Williams, you rest Nick Bosa, and you take an L, but you know, you get those guys some rest, you have a little snow game, you come home, you get warm, okay? And then you come back, you face the Chicago Bears, and you can get a win. Meanwhile, your division is kind of cannibalizing itself. Some mediocre teams playing each other, sort of evening out. No one's really pulling away. And then you have the opportunity to play the Cardinals, to play the Rams, and beat those two teams. And that way, at least in the division, you're 3-3. If it evens out and you have a tie record at the end of the year, maybe you get lucky with some of the tiebreakers. Probably not. You probably still need to be at 10-7, which means you got to win out going down the stretch, and you're going to have to face the Lions. So it's a pretty tough ask. But on the most optimistic side, these are mediocre teams, and if you beat the teams that you're supposed to beat, in the Bears and the Rams and the Cardinals,
yes,
and you can beat the Dolphins on the road, you have a chance. You have a chance. I would say, also glass half full, if you lose out and you're terrible, it sets you up pretty well for next year when you're probably going to be a little bit more of a threat, which I don't think they're a serious threat this year, even if they somehow manage to turn this thing around.
I think they can do that. I do believe it's possible. It's not probable, but it is possible that they can beat those two teams, Rams, and you can beat Arizona. Those two teams don't scare you. And I think that you can beat the Bears. That's a home game. You should and be able to beat a rookie quarterback. You better not lose
to
that.
He's balling now.
Yeah, he's balling. You're right. But you should beat him at home. You better find a way. And Miami, who cares? Who knows? Miami, like you said, they're going to be playing at home. It's in Miami. Really, home crowd doesn't mean anything. So you have a chance to do that. I just think that this week, I'm with you. I sit my horses. This game should get ugly. I don't think if I'm Kyle Shanahan as a coaching, I'm looking at this and saying, I'm not playing my guys to get them beat up because the following week we're in a must situation. I let rest the guys. I get Greenlaw back the following week. I get a bunch of guys back the following week, and we make one more last hurrah. That's where it's at.
So the bit again, and I'm trying to decipher what it is that you just said and reading between the lines, that you just don't think they have that quote-unquote X factor this year, that this is not a team, regardless if they get into the playoffs and let's say they win the division, that this is a team that just does not, whether it's the hangover, whatever it is that you want to point a finger at, that this 49er team does not have that component that is a prerequisite to go to where it is that they want to go, which is back to a Super Bowl and winning the damn thing.
Yeah. That's like you're in good shape, but if I put you against one of them brothers from Kenya to run a mile, you might still be able to run, but you ain't going to beat him because they're trained. Right now, the Niners are okay, but they're not going to beat the Detroits. Even though they're saying, okay, cool, I can fight my fight, I'm going to play my game, I'm going to give you everything that I got, you just don't have it. Every fourth quarter, you pretty much lost this year. Dallas has been a sieve. You almost lost to Dallas. They came back in the fourth quarter. You had Seattle beating up on them. They almost beat you. You think about the Rams. They did beat you. You look at this team in the fourth quarter. The only team that you were able to handle this year that didn't have really a chance is New England Patriots. Think about what game did you win and you controlled and you dominated. Any game that they won this year, tell me which one besides the New England Patriots. So I'm looking at this team and looking the way that they're playing and how they're doing. I just don't see the consistency on either side of the ball in the trenches that they can get in the playoffs and make any noise.
I just don't think there's one thing that they can lean on confidently, whereas in years past, when the offense wasn't working, they could say, all right, this defense is going to clamp down, and in the fourth quarter, they're going to hold on, and we'll get the field goal we need, and we'll sneak out of here with a win. The defense, they've got Devondre Campbell and guys up front who aren't quite it. They've got some young guys in the secondary who I'm mostly impressed by, but are still young guys. There's a lot of different pieces. It's just not quite dominant at all. It's good for the most part, but it's not dominant, so they can't count on that. Their special teams is just an absolute disaster. It's a dumpster fire. And then you look at offense, they're not getting pushed in the run game, and that fundamentally is where they need to win there. And